on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield, live from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Welcome to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, presented by Fenley Toyota. Also brought to you by Fenley Chevrolet is your home for woo! Located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones. Now, here are your hosts, John Sandler, Robert Smith, and Steve Cofield.
Well, we made it back alive.
Huh.
John and Robert with you. Coach will join us here in just a moment. The Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick here inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. Great to be with you, and great to see such a big crowd. We know you all came out to see us, so we'll look forward to entertaining you for the next hour. Talking about the Runner Rebels. Rebels suffered their first conference loss of the year last night at the hands of Air Force, a squeaker up there at Clune Arena, and now we'll turn their attention to San Jose. And, yeah, we're going to have some fun with it because that's really all you can do is laugh.
At this stage.
Exactly. Coach, I don't know if you heard the open. But I said we made it back alive, and that's a good thing. Rebels 3-1 now after starting 3-0 in Mountain West Conference play for the first time ever, and now getting ready for San Jose State back at the Thomas and Mack on Saturday afternoon. It's a 4:30 start on Saturday afternoon, so make your plans. Come on out. We're going to talk about crowd a little bit because it was a big factor last night in the ball game. John Sandler, Robert Smith, and head coach Marvin Menzies, and coach, I don't know how much or what we can say about last night other than Air Force was really, really, really good, and the Rebels on the defensive end were not.
Right. I thought we were really good offensively, obviously.
Yep.
But, you know, we can – I'll kind of go on a rant for a moment about that game just to kind of touch on a few things. You know, right after the game, I made the comment about the crowd, and my buddy from L.A. called me, and he said, Marv, you were just rambling. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you said they had a big crowd at Air Force. I said, I don't know what you guys could see or couldn't see on TV, but right behind, right next to our bench, not behind our bench, they had students from the leaning over the railings to the top of the ceiling. I was just telling some of the folks in the crowd, it was like a promotion where they didn't have to wake up.
Yeah, so let's explain. So at the Air Force Academy, the cadets have to get up and march at, I think, like 5 or 5:30 in the morning.
Or something, yeah.
Something like that. And they had a promotion where if you came to the basketball game, you didn't have to get up early and march. So they had 2,000 kids there. It's a 6,000-seat arena. There were probably, if they had 2,000 students, I said 2,000, 1,500 students, there might have been 2,000 people in the whole place.
Right by the bench.
But 1,500 of them were sitting in coach's lap.
It was the largest crowd there I've ever seen
in 15
Dave,
years.
Dave told me it was the largest they've had since he's been
Is
there.
Is that right?
So, yeah. But, you know, that obviously that wasn't the reason we weren't successful. But it did give them some motivation.
No doubt.
Their players played their tails off, and there's just three words that describe that game. We got beat. Period. Well, you don't win them all. And that was one of those games where, you know, we beat ourselves in some areas. Obviously, there's always plays where you didn't do what you were supposed to do or execute here, there, or wherever. But they just beat us. And there's you can't take anything from them. And I know their name is not this perennial, you know, power top 25 team. And obviously, we've had our struggles there in years past. But I'm not going to say anything to make any excuses other than they just beat us, and that's not an excuse, but that's just what it is. You got to give Dave credit. Those young men came out and they played a fantastic game. I think they beat a whole lot of people that night. Yeah. Unfortunately, it was our night to play them when they played their tails off.
No doubt, and we talked about it before the game, and you know, I know fans sometimes they don't believe us, but. Because they see Air Force and they know the history of that program and how the success has been kind of few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've never played against that offense as well as they played last night, you're going to be lost. And that's kind of what happened to the Rebels only had two guys on the floor who'd ever seen it before.
Yeah, and there was a lot of things that like I said, that contributed to the outcome. Just a lot, but they're all, at the end of the day, they're all reasons, logic, explanations, or it could be perceived as excuses. And at the end of the day, you know, we don't like to make excuses. So You know, we just, again, we just tip our hats to them and say, hey, they did a phenomenal job. They, but some of those things that did occur that I would say we've got to shore up before Saturday on our end. Let's talk about the defense. I thought defensively, we threw a scouting report at our team that was maybe a little bit more challenging for them to be able to execute under those conditions of under a game condition. You always have game slippage, but we probably out coached ourselves a little bit with some of the things that we put out there that we know has been successful against them this year, but against teams that are a little bit more experienced than us. We were switching some ball screens. Others we were getting under. There wasn't a consistent flow. We got to give our guys some pretty concise kind of directives for them to handle it. So that was something that we'll do going forward to Saturday. And then we just got to guard the ball. At the end of all that stuff, it did end up a lot of just one-on-one. And we didn't keep guys in front of us. And, they even though they shot the ball well percentage-wise from the three-point line, it's not like we had more threes than they did. So that wasn't the reason. It was really just getting stops, one-on-one basketball, which is, you got to man up and do your job there. So we drilled that today pretty extensively. And then the last thing was probably the rebounding side of the ball, where obviously not having our normal length in there showed up, and that blemish came back to bite us. But the guys that had an opportunity to step up, they've got to do a better job on Saturday in that area by making contact and holding seals and just playing a little more physical. So those are probably the three key things that I think going into Saturday, we've already started to address, and we've got to do a better job than that. And we'll talk about San Jose State later, but those were the takeaways from that game.
Robert, you've been through maybe a few games like that. I'm not sure in your career. I mean, where you turn on the tap and the thing blows up in your face, and all of a sudden the water's squirting and you have nothing you can do about it. Trying to drink out of a fire hose there.
No.
How do you bounce back from that?
Well, I mean, you just have to go back into the gym and work on your confidence first, because that goes away when you have a game like that. But I looked at that game last night as an ambush, because it was like a regular game. Everybody, the fans coming in, then all of a sudden, whoosh, all these students come in. I'm like, oh man, this is the setup right here. And that's the way it looked to me. Was like, we're gonna make it like it's a regular game, but we're gonna get all these kids in here. And once they started coming in, they came in and droves, man. I'm like,
yeah.
What? I mean, is it a special day or something?
We didn't know. I was in the locker room and I heard this roar, and I was just perplexed. And
thought it was the Air Force. There's a plane somewhere.
I asked. Who's in there? I think Coach LaFleur was in there. I said, what's going on out there? He said, that's just their student section. I was like, yeah, right. And then when I walked out and I looked up to the right, I was like, holy smokes.
The whole section.
They brought it.
They did.
God bless them.
Yeah, they did. I mean, to their credit, it's the loudest building we've been in all year.
Yeah, it was louder than the Pit.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Pit had 11,000 people in it. Yeah. So, if I guess one of the lessons learned is, if there ever is a crisis and we need our Air Force people to communicate with one another, they can do it, because they can yell. There's no doubt about it.
Just give them the next day off.
Yeah, just give them the
next day. Take care of that.
Go take care of that, and you can have tomorrow off, and they'll take care of it. No problem at all. From an offensive standpoint, I really thought there were some guys who kind of stepped up and got – that confidence, and we'll talk about Nick a little bit separately.
Right.
But Noah looked more confident on the floor. Amari is really starting to develop into the player I know he is going to become.
Right.
There Joel.
Some, definitely some bright spots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely some bright spots. I'm sorry not to cut you off. But you can't always appreciate those when there's a loss. It's hard to say. Yeah, I mean, you talk about them, and I guess they're true and they're good observations. But from the head coach's seat, it's just hard to. That's not what you're focusing on. You're focusing on, why didn't we get to the midline here? Why did we, why did we let this guy go to the left? Why did we get, all those the things where we told them not to do in the scouting reports, and they did. And we talked about it today. We said, okay, so you guys tell me. Here's a scouting report. Here's what happened. okay, why? And we had real candid conversation. I won't go into all the answers, but I thought we moved the needle in terms of them understanding, you know, why. You got to know before you can fix anything. A lot of times in this generation, especially, you know, players want to know why. So I put the question to them, and so it kind of adjusted some of the things that we did today.
You always talk about the character of this group. We've seen it. We've seen the grit and the toughness in this group. What did you see from them today that sort of made you feel good about going forward?
Well, you know, you asked Robert about how do you bounce back. You know, I think you have to put a limit on your sorrow. You know,
yep.
So you got to say, okay, we're gonna take the hit. We're gonna have a rough night, and then as you move into the next day and the next preparation for the next team, you don't necessarily put it behind you because there's lessons there that you want to take with you, but you got to get back on the floor and you got to get after it. Today was probably one of the most spirited practices we've had, and so that made me feel good. Made me feel good because they just. We challenged them. It was a mental toughness practice. We coached to a high, high standard of details, and if not, they ran. And we were truly the running rebels today, so we got a lot of running in. We had a lot of physicality in practice, and it was good. It was good, and I think it kind of reset, pushed the reset button to say, okay, all right, let's get back to being who we are.
And Robert, we've talked about it all year, and we'll continue to talk about it, although less and less as the year goes along because guys are getting more and more experience. But, you know, you got 10 scholarship players available right now, 8 of whom are freshmen and sophomores, 6 of them are freshmen.
Right.
I mean, you know, this is new for those guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just that environment last night was new for a lot of them, and you can see it in their eyes when the game started. So, you know, it is tough to go through a loss like that, but there were some bright spots that, you know, like I said, they shot the ball well, but it was going to be hard to beat them last night the way they played.
And maybe to put a bow on it and to follow up on what Coach said, you know, when after the New Mexico game, you know, we made a point to say, you know, that's great. You win at the Pit. That's a big deal.
Right.
But it's one game.
Yep. Right.
And the same thing, you know, you got your you-know-what waxed up there, and that's true. But it's one game.
Yep. Right.
And we talked about the roller coaster ride that this season was going to be with as much youth as the Rebel and inexperience the Rebels have on the lineup. And we've seen both ends of the roller coaster over the last week. And it's just, you know, what you hope is that those ups and downs, the amplitude tends to shrink a little bit, right. And you start to level out at a higher level, and I think that opportunity is there.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like raising a child. You know, you have those days where you're just so excited when they do something great, and then you have those other days where they disobey your orders or do something dumb, and you just – it's a journey, man. It's like the highs and lows, but eventually they mature, and eventually they make you proud.
The only problem is you don't have a whole raft of cousins standing there yelling at you about how the kids are performing on a day-to-day basis.
Not a lot of big brothers in this family yet either. So, but, you know, that's our job right now. That's what we have signed on for and we love to do. And so just trying to figure out how to, you know, push and pull and you know, kind of massage the situation, different situations so that you get the best out of the talent that you have is inevitably what we're trying to do.
I asked Coach Joe before the game yesterday during pregame on our Cup of Joe segment.
Cup of Joe.
What if he felt this Rebel group, and obviously it was before yesterday's game, if he felt this Rebel group was a little bit maybe ahead of schedule? And I won't tell you his answer, but I want to ask you the same question.
Joe, what'd you say?
Don't tell him, Joe. Don't tell him.
we got to be on the same page here.
He felt strongly both ways.
You know, ahead of schedule, yeah, you always feel like they're a little bit ahead of schedule when you're winning, right?
Right.
That was a tricky question because if you asked me before the game or after the game, to be honest with you, this is what I would have said. I would have said, I think we got a long way to go, but I think we have enough talent to get us to the end of games where we can win games. And that's what we didn't do yesterday. We didn't get to the end of the game. The first three games of the conference, we were behind every game at half, but we had enough talent and a little bit of experience sprinkled in there with Chris Clyburn and with Noah that to get us over the hump at the end of some games, at the Pit.
Yeah.
We couldn't give those guys a chance to help us win it, and that was unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's hard to step back and have some perspective, but Robert and I were talking about it, and Robert, take your feelings on this. You know, when you took this job, there wasn't much here, and there was kind of this consensus that it was going to take 4 years
right.
or more to get things up and running, and people forget, and people get impatient, and they get antsy, and they get frustrated. But
I hadn't noticed.
but Robert, you Coach always talks about it being a process, and
right.
There are no shortcuts. You can try, but it usually winds up being a flash in the pan and blowing up in your face.
Well, like you said, you bring a bunch of transfers in, and they have to learn the system, and then boom, they're gone. Now you got to start all over again. But like Coach said, make it a process where you bring the kids that you want, that you know are going to be around for a while, and it's going to take some time to get to that level that you want to be at, and the level that the fans and the administration want to see.
So absolutely,
I like where we're going, and sure, you always want it to happen a little faster, mm-hmm. but it's not going to be able to until everybody gets on the same page.
Right, no doubt. Well, the ladies from Canada are leaving. Canada! We'll see you guys later. I'll tell the radio audience what happened just now. So I walked in, and these lovely ladies were sitting at their table, and they all had their red on, and so I just assumed they were here for the radio show. So I walk up, and I say, "Hey, guys." Yes. And so they're looking at me like, okay, what's the gray-haired guy want at our table? Doesn't seem to work here.
He's not asking us if we want dessert or anything.
And they're very sweet, and we had a nice conversation about Canada and how I recruited from that area heavily when I was at New Mexico State. So, but their food is all done, and they're heading out. But I wanted to bid them adieu before they took off. So good little story before we came in.
You ladies have a wonderful evening. We're going to take a break on that note. We'll come back and talk a little bit more Runner Rebel basketball with Coach Marvin Menzies. A little later on, we've got another perspective as we've got the athletic trainer, the head athletic trainer for the Runner Rebels.
The man.
With us, Brian Lindell, will join us a little bit later. Fans, remember the 2019 Nissan Rogue. It's one solid defender. Nissan, proud supporter of college athletics. You are listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Amari has to curl it back. Joel was a little late getting down the floor. Hardy gives the ball to Blair for a three, and Nick hits the three.
Hey, I am not surprised. I've seen him play a lot at Gorman.
That's the most emotion I've ever seen from Nick Blair right there. Nick Blair knocking down a three in the first half up at Air Force, trying to keep the Rebels in the game, couldn't do it. Had a great game. Nick, 9 points, 8 rebounds, and in the first half, he was probably the best player on the floor for UNLV.
Yeah.
A walk-on, the old man, grandpa on the team, Nick from Bishop Gorman High School, doing a terrific job. We say, John Sandler, Robert Smith, Coach Marvin Menzies with you here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. We say that Nick is sort of being forced to play, mm-hmm. but the way he's playing, he's doing a terrific job. And Coach, you gotta be proud. I mean, Nick didn't play at all in non-conference play.
I think he played 10 or 11 minutes last game.
Yeah.
Or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I mean all non-conference,
right,
I think he played 6.
Right, right. So, we see him every day in practice. So we know he's a tough kid. We know he's a team guy, he's a glue guy. He knows it's a numbers game.
Right.
Just guys like that that are all in no matter what, whether they're playing or not playing, are truly great teammates. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's been for the duration since I've had him, even when he was a walk-on last year. So finally getting him to get an opportunity to play, like you talk about the bright spots, and that was one of those where you look and you go, well, I'm glad he had a chance to get on the floor. Unfortunately, yeah, we didn't get the win, but we did the last time he did. So, you know, he'll continue to help the team. There's no question.
You know, we keep talking about the youth on this team, and we talk about it from the player's standpoint.
Right.
But from a coach's standpoint, I mean, you recruited these kids. You know them. You develop relationships with them. But you don't spend a ton of time with them before they show up
here
on campus.
Right.
And
that's a good point.
Especially with today's kids,
mm-hmm,
how much time does it take you to understand? You talked about early in the show about maybe you gave them too much from a defensive game plan standpoint. How
yeah
much time does it take you to really understand, whether it's as a group or each individual,
how to
coach them?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good question. It is a like Rob mentioned earlier, it is a process. Just like their maturation, it's a process for me to dissect each personality. Like we were just talking about JTT, who is going to try to do it exactly right. And whatever you tell him, it's like a blank canvas. So you got to be careful, because he doesn't have a lot of the instinctive responses and just the game reps and the experience. So things that you may assume that he knows, if you don't tell him, he doesn't know. Like you tell him to block out, well, he's going to hold that seal and block that guy out.
The whole time.
Yeah, so you got to say, okay, hit him, but then you got to go get it afterwards. You know, well, I was just making sure he didn't get it. I was like, okay, all right, well, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And so that's the one of the things that you just can't assume that they know everything. And that's just one example. But every kid, like you said, is a little bit different. And to get the most out of a player, and not just from a motivational standpoint, but from a executional standpoint, defensively and offensively, you've got to understand who they are and their strengths and their weaknesses. And that takes time. That takes time. I do feel like I feel personally like I've made a lot of progress with getting them to be a better basketball team. You know, last night was one of those games where you look back and you go, man, we scored 88 points and lost at Air Force? And so you got to say, yeah, well, we've been shooting the ball a little bit better since we got to conference. And that was something that we worked on since Bucknell. And so that was an area of focus. There were some other areas that we worked on that we're doing better in. But then we've had the massive slippage defensively. And so we're shoring that back up now. So, you know, it's an ongoing deal of pulling and tugging on the different ropes to, like a puppeteer, you know, to get everything going in the right direction.
There's also there's another factor, and I think it isn't as big an obstacle for you as it is maybe with some other coaches, just
uh-huh,
because of your personality, but developing that trust with the players so that whether it's you're saying something positive to them and they take it the right way, or maybe more importantly when you criticize them, they understand how they should take it.
Yeah, and that's, again, you know, like Joel wasn't very good in his responses last night. So we took all of the edits of where I was addressing him or he was on the floor and he got into, you know, a disagreement with a teammate or something. And I showed him, I said, you got to understand, you want to play professionally one day, right? Okay, so you're a walking commercial. So you don't think people are reading your body language?
Right.
And you're, like, we had an interaction on the bench where I was telling him something. And he was still frustrated from the game, but, you know, his body language looked like he was being, not disrespectful, but it looks like he wasn't absorbing what I was telling him. 100% he was, but he wasn't disrespectful at all. But his body language was bad, so I had to show him that today. And so, again, you have to teach them how to respond, you know. Obviously, it goes back to recruiting as well. You got to recruit guys that you're not going to have, you know, you have to do your research, and if the guy's a not very solid
right
individual, then you're not going to recruit that kid anyway. But that's when you run into real problems, when you bring in guys that, you know, are really good players and you just recruit them all on the talent and then they get there.
And then
you have issues off the court and whatever. And that's you know, knock on wood, we've been extremely blessed in that area to have the right responses off the court, in the classroom. And I think those are the ones that those kids can eventually end up being championship-type guys.
Robert, from a player standpoint, mm-hmm. how much – so, you know, and not picking on Joel, but you,
right.
as an example, you know, because the players see that too,
mm-hmm.
you know, as the walking commercial as coach, but I think that's great. You know, they see the guys who are getting frustrated, maybe don't react properly. Don't.
Right.
So how much from a player standpoint, whether it's in the moment or later on as a leader on the team, you know, a veteran guy, and the Rebels don't have too many,
right.
do you go up to a freshman and say, hey, look, man, you know, here's how you need to do that or you know, help them through the situation so you don't have those problems Coach was talking
about. Well, I mean, from a player, you know, as a player, I've always, you know, when I see a guy, you know, getting into confrontation or about to, I pretty much pull him to the side, and I don't know if it's just because of a habit that I had.
Your personality.
Right. But when I see a guy getting frustrated, it has always been my idea to just pull him to the side and just kind of calm him down. Because a lot of guys, like if you do it in a crowd, they'll think you're trying to show them up. So I've always just kind of taken him to the side, say, man, look, what coach is trying to tell you or what you should be doing, you know. But I've always done that. It's just been a habit of mine.
Instinctively.
Yeah. But for some guys, you know, it takes a while because they'll look at like, well, if I say something to him, you know, he might take it personal.
Right.
So I better back off. But there's ways of doing it and knowing how to do it. Because some guys can take it, some can't.
When you are recruiting, Coach, does it enter into the equation at all? You know, okay, I need a guy who I can count on to have the ball in his hands in a key situation. I need a guy, you know, where you're recruiting almost like with a checklist.
Yeah.
I need a guy who's going to be the guy I'm going to give the ball to down one with 8 seconds to go. I need a guy who's going to be able to pull a freshman aside and have a chat and not settle things down.
Yeah, it starts with your roster, right? You look at your roster and then you look at your depth chart, and this guy's a senior big and he does this and brings this to the table. So we've got the rebound shored up between the senior and these two juniors and the sophomore. And then as that matriculates through, you got to you're looking to replace that and anticipating when that kid's a junior and a senior, what, you know, at what level he'll be bringing it. You know, like right now, we had a deficiency in shooting the three ball. I felt like Bryce and Trey and Amari and those guys will be really good three-point shooters. I just would, you know, I just didn't I didn't know when it would kick in, and it's starting to kick in now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think next year they'll be really good. Now, that doesn't mean that we wouldn't go and bring in another kid that can really shoot the ball. But you look at Ethan, who signed with us as a point guard. He's a very good three-point shooter. Where Josh, that's still an area where he's developing. But Josh can break a press by himself. You know, there's other attributes that he brings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm giving you a lot of specifics. But at the end of the day, there is a lot of dynamics that you have to factor in what your team needs. And then when they will need it as well. So you don't want to have, you know, 28 shooters that can't guard it.
or 28 guys who can guard and can't shoot.
Yeah.
Like Sandy, you know, teams of this conference.
Uh-huh.
Right. But, you know, we have.
Slip there.
Almost did.
Yeah.
Before we get to San Diego State, we do have some questions off Twitter, and you know some of them are
what's Twitter
come from anger, you know, a point of frustration, let's say. But I do want to, you know, in fairness to the fans, I do want to at least address some of the issues that they raise related to, you know, the preparation for last night's game. I think you talked about it, and the fact
right.
that maybe you think you gave the guys a little too much. There's also a question about, you know, That sense of disbelief about the environment last night, because
right.
because
I had a friend from L.A. call me and say, "Hey man, you slipped," and said that it was a tough environment at Air Force. And I was like, "Nah, bro, I didn't slip."
and on TV, crazy. I mean, I had people say too, "Well, on TV, it didn't look that full." Well,
it didn't, because the cameras are centered off the center court.
That's right.
So they don't flash. They don't show you predominantly behind the basket.
There were 2,500 people on the Rebel bench.
It was crazy. But you know what? And again, that's just a explanation of some of the dynamics that may have affected our young guys not being as effective as they could have been.
As instinctive.
So, and let's talk about preparation. So when you go into a game, you design a plan. and this plan is based off previous games. So our plan was executed by other teams, same plan, to a high level, and handled Air Force pretty well. So we used some of those things. We probably, and I will admit this, that I think defensively we probably had some things in there that were maybe a little bit too complex for some of our younger guys to handle, not knowing until we got into the game, because in practice they looked pretty good, like they were handling, but we couldn't replicate.
You can't replicate.
Yeah, couldn't replicate the efficiency and the timing and the speed and the hard cuts that Air Force, you know, how they operate their offense. So to answer that question, yeah, I'll take some of the hit on that for sure. There's no question. I tried to make some adjustments throughout the game. You know, the whole thing was to heat them up because they're typically going to come down and be very patient. Well, we tried to heat them up, and they attacked the press to score, which they don't typically do. They typically will break the press, and then they'll set up their offense, which would have been fine if we could have sped them up to, you know, to get some turnovers or to create them, to get them out of sorts when their offense was actually set up. But I'm telling you, they would break the press, and they would punish. They use our term. We want to punish people for pressing us, and that's what they did. They punished us for us pressing them. So, again, you know, I can have all the schemes and scouting plans and all that stuff in the world, but at the end of the day, if the other team just is better than you that night, they're just better than you that night, and that's what they were. They were better than us that night, and that's where that ended.
I want to take a break and come back with one short segment.
Okay.
Talk about San Jose, if that's all right.
Sure.
All right, and then we'll bring Brian up here. Fans, remember that the Marvin Menzies radio show is brought to you by Dignity Health, where they know that no one wants to be in an ER waiting room for long. That's why they offer a service that allows you to wait at home, because healing takes more than medicine. It also takes understanding. Learn more at strosehospitals.org/ER. You're listening to the Marvin Menzies radio show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Hardy gets a pick, goes baseline. Hardy drives baseline. Out to Tomway, another three for Joel. Is good.
He's starting to feel it.
Joel Tomway heating up in the second half last night. Mild, little quiet Clune Arena. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. Not last night. John Sandler, Robert Smith, and head coach Marvin Menzies talking Runner Rebel basketball. Rebels taking on San Jose State Saturday afternoon at the Thomas Mack 4:30 tip. We're at Bailiwick here at the Orleans Hotel Casino. Be on the air at 4 o'clock with Runner Rebel warm-up. And, Coach, you know, on the face of it, and no disrespect, but San Jose has struggled this year, and program has seen a lot of change over the last couple of years.
Right.
Players leaving, coaches leaving, and we are way too familiar with the impact that can have, even on a strong program.
No question.
And the Spartans have been struggling, but they battled at home against Boise last night, and they're not going to come in here and just lay down. So
no, they played the toughest teams in conference so far defensively, and I mean they were down by two. I think it was Boise. They were down by two at half, and I think Reno, they were down nine at half. They ended up getting them, blowing them out in the second half. It was a 2-point game against Utah State. They're I hate to say this, but because my players always think, well, they're just, you're pumping them up.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like, yeah, no, we did that with Air Force. Remember what happened there? So we try to explain to them, like, hey, listen, this is who they are. They've got the number one field goal shooting three-point shooter in the country, a kid named Bauman. He shoots 52%.
He was there last year,
yeah. 52% from the three-point line. He was 9 for 14 last night, 7 for 10 from the three. They've got two bigs that are, one is much improved, and then they have a junior college big who's, you know, he's averaging 13-9 or something like that. They've got some players. They don't have a lot of depth, but they've got some talent. And, you know, the areas that they're strong, I mean, they've got a 6'9". They start a guy 6'9", 6'10", 6'11", and then they go 6'5 at the wing and 6'2 at the point. Needless to say, that's an area where we used to be one of the tallest teams in the country, and now that's an area where we're not. So we've got our challenges with them, and so we got to come up with a plan, which, you know, when you go into the game, hopefully it works for you and you don't have to do major adjustments, but if not, we'll make adjustments and throw some curveballs at them. But you know, we just gotta get back to defending the way that we want to defend and get back to, you know, the principles, five-man principles that our guys were getting really good at. We were horrible in transition defense. And then I think we've shored that up over since conference has begun. We've really improved in that area. So we fixed that, but then we got away from our half-court defense being as efficient as it was before. So we got to get back to that. And if we could shore up those two things before Saturday against San Jose State, I think we'll be in good shape. You know, we're at home. We need a crowd, just like any home team, to create some type of advantage. I mean, listen, we haven't played the who's of conference yet. That's not a big secret. But we are 3-1 with a young team, and, you know, I think that, you know, if it's your team, you come out and support them with your butts in the seat. I think that actually helps. And I think that, you know, getting out and showing these guys that, you know, you believe in them. And I don't think anybody that's seen a home game this year has been disappointed with our effort. I think we have played hard even last night. We didn't play smart, but we sure play hard. And that's something that I think you can be proud of when you watch your Rebels and your young Rebels developing. And now you put the intelligence with that and the experience with that and the IQ with that. We play a little smarter as the year goes on. This is one of those games where a solid attended game could make the difference for us.
Absolutely. And I mean, yeah, we talked about it last night. Made a big difference last night. Just, I mean, positive for Air Force. Don't worry about the impact on the Rebels.
Yep.
But it pumped them up. And, you know, you can say it any kind of way you want, Robert, but you know, having a good home court advantage is part of rebuilding a program.
Yeah, it always helps. And I always played to the fans. You know, if we had a nice crowd, man, I got so pumped up. So it's always good to have that, you know, that sixth man for your players.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I mean, you know, we can't beg you, and we can't order you or force you. And we know there's a financial commitment involved, and we know, you know, there's a lot going on. But be part of the process, and you know, say you were there when this team was real young, and watch them grow. And in a year or two, you're gonna see something kind of special.
And I get it, and I hear it. With the fans, they want to win, right? I mean, who doesn't? I want to win. Our players want to win. So, but some, and I know that there's some fans that just are not going to come until we start to win, and that's okay. If that's where your head's at, we'll see you when we start winning. Diehard, real Rebel fans, I think, are there through thick and thin, and I like the, you know, a lot of our folks that come to this the radio show. I mean, I'd love to see their smiling faces, especially after a loss. These are the folks that I, you know, come, we hug, we talk, and we go. And I go, you know what? We got some. There's some good folks out there that got our backs, and it feels good.
Well, you know, come after a loss, come after it. If we had a home game right after the New Mexico game, a lot of folks would have shown up. It's just amazing that it can vary that dramatically based on, you know, one game.
But I get it.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm a big boy. I understand the business. It's not gonna make or break how I do business. We're gonna build this thing the right way with consistency, and we'll, once we get there, you know, a lot of folks will come back, and so that's fine. We'll be there with open arms when they come back too.
Absolutely right. All right, Coach, appreciate it. We're gonna get Brian Lindell up here, talk a little about the athletic training program at UNLV. When we come back, want to remind you, Findlay Chevrolet. It's your home for Woo!
Oh.
Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to Woo! Findlay Chevrolet, located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones, Nevada's number one volume Chevrolet dealer. Find new roads. Back with more Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Walker dribbling through traffic, a floater in the lane, too hard off the glass. Tomboy collects the rebound, gives it to Noah Robotham. Rebels run. Noah quickly front court. Noah, nice move to get open underneath. Nice. Lays it up and in.
Nice.
Good move by Noah Robotham there to get to the rim. Rebels 1-1 over the last week. Let's put it that way. How about that? Winning at the pit and then suffering the pits up at Air Force. But a chance for redemption from the last game on Saturday afternoon against San Jose State. 4:30 with the tip, 4 o'clock run of Rebel warm-up. John Santa, Robert Smith with you, joined by Brian Lindell, who is the head athletic trainer for UNLV men's basketball. Brian, we get a chance to visit off the air a lot on the bus and around the guys. You are always busy. You are always doing something.
Yep.
But thank you for taking time out and joining us here tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
It's really a pleasure. All right, let's get the sort of news out of the way. Unfortunately, you've been real busy, and you've been dealing primarily in terms of major issues with three guys, with Shakur Justin's knee, with Shekna Dembele's hand or finger, and with now Mbake's ankle. You can't get into a lot of detail, but can you just give us kind of an update from your perspective on what's going on with all three of them?
Well, I can confidently say they're all getting better.
Short but sweet.
Yep, exactly. You know, they're all really good kids. They, you know, they work with me. They work hard, and they're all really anxious to get back on the court.
No doubt about it. How hard is it as a trainer? I mean, these kids probably didn't have a lot of medical, you know, high level medical attention on their teams in high school, or maybe a little bit on their clubs, who knows. But how hard is it for you to kind of get them to understand, to trust you, that, you know, you may be telling them something they don't want to hear, but in the long run it's going to be best for them?
Oh yeah, that's definitely a challenge with the younger kids and the kids straight from high school. You know, it's just about developing trust, and you know, you've seen me, I spend a lot of time around the guys and around the team, and that slowly develops. But you know, the more they work with you, the more they realize that there's a lot that they can do for their bodies that's also going to improve their play.
When you were coming up, Robert, when did you figure out, you know, that the trainer is actually there to help you?
My first year of college, I knew. We didn't have one in high school, so when I got to college, he was the MVP for us, because, you know, we always had a lot of hard practices and somebody like him around, you know, to keep you going. And so I always considered, you know, the trainer the MVP of the team.
Yeah. Well, you do a lot, and you do a lot of things. I mean, yeah, you know, when a guy gets hurt, you know about it. You're kind of a little bit in the spotlight, and I know that's not where you want to be. Talk a little bit about the things you do to keep the guys healthy, not after the fact.
Yeah, well, you know, preventing injuries is that makes my life so much easier if we can do that. The big thing is we tape ankles every day, every game, just trying to reduce the number of ankle sprains and the severity with all those. The other thing that the guys spend, you know, a significant amount of time is in our cold plunge tub, which is just, you know, a cold tub that helps relax their muscles, helps repair them, helps get them ready for the next day.
That's after practice.
After practice, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a big deal for the Rebels to have. I mean, one of the things you cannot say is because the Mendenhall Center and the training room inside the Mendenhall Center are first class. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in terms of those types of facilities, the Rebels don't take a backseat to anybody.
Oh, absolutely not.
And you know, thank you to the folks who were instrumental in putting that together and building that cold tub is you know, players probably hated it first and learned to love it later.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We've had a couple of guys that, you know, you couldn't force them in there with anything, and one of them especially, now he spends, you know, 10 minutes in there, no problem.
Yeah.
The one thing I was going to ask too was, you know, back when I was playing, it was almost mandatory that you had to tape. Do you find guys nowadays kind of shy away from it or don't want to do it?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, especially coming from high school, you might not have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the younger kids, they don't necessarily need to put that much effort into their body with the work that they've done in the past. So once you start adjusting to college and the added workload, they get better and they start taking it upon themselves to do what they need to feel better.
Well, it's so many more practices, so many more games,
yep.
so much more work and pounding and punishment that their bodies
That's
take.
Right.
It's just a matter of learning. You gotta be proactive to take care of yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was going to say that's one of the struggles with the young kids too, is just teaching them what they need to do personally and individually.
All right. Why? And you talked about ankles. It's the first thing you brought up. You talked about how that's the number one thing. You got to tape ankles. Ankles are the most prevalent injury, most common injury in basketball. Why doesn't anybody wear high tops anymore? And I know I sound like I'm a thousand years old.
That's right.
But, I mean, You can do a cool high top. You can do a high top with flashing lights and bells and whistles, whatever.
And there's so many different shoes out now, but guys do not they don't seem to like to wear the high top shoes.
Would it solve problems? Would it help?
You know, it might. I can't imagine it would hurt. Maybe we should try it next year.
I'm not saying you know it's. I just don't understand why these kids don't wear
supportive
shoes. They right. could be cool. You put wings on them. I don't care. But they could be cool. All right. Enough of my old man rant. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back more with Brian. There are so many ways to be satisfied at the Orleans Hotel and Casino Experience Bailiwick. All-American pub and eatery, food and fun. It's what they do. Savor the latest and greatest variety of flavors at the Orleans. That's where we are. Back with more final segment, Marvin Menzies Radio Show, after this on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. All right, back here at Bailiwick, our final segment, John and Robert, along with the head athletic trainer for the UNLV Running Rebels, Brian Lindell. How'd you get to become a trainer?
Well, I've always liked sports. I've always played sports. They were probably the predominant interests that I had as a child, and unfortunately my talents only got me to about the JV squad in high school. So I had to find some other way to still stay connected, stay on a team. And that's really what athletic training provided for me. It was just a way to be around sports, be around a team, and do something that I like to do.
What are the certifications? What's the process that you have to go through? Because there's a lot of training that you have to undertake and a lot of education you have to undertake to get to your level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what in undergrad I graduated with a degree in athletic training and then went on to do two more years of school to get a master's degree. But then there's all sorts of various classes and certifications to take throughout the year just to improve and learn new techniques to bring to the team.
Brian, where are you originally from?
I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah.
I played for Milwaukee
Madtown.
Bucks.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Madtown. And is that where you went to school?
Yep.
Went to University of Wisconsin. We played there a few years ago.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can get back. It isn't much fun playing the Badgers.
It's a tough place to play.
Yeah, it can be really tough. I want to thank you very much for joining us. We'll have you on again another time, but keep up the good work. Keep keeping the guys healthy.
That's right.
And you're going to be part of this growth and success of this program over the long term. Really appreciate it. That's going to do it for us here tonight. I want to thank all the great folks who came out tonight. Really appreciate it. Rebels in San Jose State, Saturday afternoon at 4:30. We'll be on the air at 4 o'clock with Run and Rebel warm-up. Thanks to Jared back in our Learfield studios, Chris Hernandez engineering alongside. For Coach, for Robert, this is John saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you Saturday afternoon. Have a great evening, everybody.
Live from Bailiwick, inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino, you've been listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, presented by Fenley Toyota.